It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, a look at a new proposal for universal background checks on firearms purchased in Wisconsin.
But first, it's time for Food Friday, and we have a very special treat this week. Chris Kimball from America's Test Kitchen is with us.
He's here to help us with some kitchen shortcuts and to share some of his favorite recipes. We also have a special gift if you make a pledge of $10 a month or more, a subscription to Cooks Illustrated Magazine. Make that pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. The magazine has lots of recipes, kitchen tips, vetted by the team at America's Test Kitchen.
And we'd love to hear from you on this one. Do you have questions about cooking? Any particular questions for Chris Kimball? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And Chris Kimball joins us now. He is host of America's Test Kitchen's television and radio shows. Chris, welcome to Central Time.
A pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's jump into some of your kitchen shortcuts. The first one is about thawing meat quickly. Now, this is one that catches a lot of people off guard. They get home, they're hungry, but the meat is frozen. What can we do?
Well, if you plan ahead, and I never do, you can leave it in the refrigerator for a long period of time, and that's safe because you don't want the meat to get, especially chicken and poultry, over 40 degrees for a long period of time. But we did come up with a new method, which is you put the chops, the chicken breasts, the fillets, whatever, in a Ziploc bag in a bowl of 140-degree water, which is you can get right out of your tap. And that will thaw in somewhere between 8 and 12 minutes, which is incredibly fast. And it's not sitting at an unsafe temperature for very long. So it brings it right up to temperature that thaws it. The other thing you can do, which takes more like in 30 minutes to an hour, you can put thin cuts on a cast iron pan at room temperature or an aluminum pan, and they're such conductors of heat that the cold essentially gets sucked out of the meat, and it brings it up to temperature. But 140 degrees, 8 to 12 minutes in a Ziploc bag is really the way to go.
Chris, when I'm in a jam like that, I often defrost in the microwave, and it always seems really gross and kind of wrong. Is it gross and wrong to do that?
It's gross and wrong, yeah. Maybe that would be a good cookbook. Gross and wrong. Yeah, the problem with microwaves is you're not going to get even thawing. Defrosting, and that's I've done that. That just doesn't work out too well. I mean, the best thing to do is just leave it in the refrigerator overnight, but nobody's that thinks that far ahead, so the warm water technique's pretty good.
Well, another tip that you have involves decanting red wine, and this is for people who are really serious about their wine, who aren't just going to cork and drink. And I guess the science is that you want to let red wine breathe, but you don't want to wait forever for it. What advice do you have?
Well, I would argue with you, and I agreed with you till about 2 months ago. I thought this was for, you know, aficionados, but I did a blind tasting between wine that was properly oxidized versus just opening, and it's a huge, I mean, it's like twice as good. It's not like 5% better. It's night and day. And the reason is when you open a bottle of wine, the neck's very narrow, so you're not getting much oxygen, and you just think about the very top of the wine. The surface area is very small. So there's almost no oxidization going on, and therefore the tannins, et cetera, aren't becoming mellow. So the two things we did, one was pretty extreme. We put the bottle of red wine into a blender, electric blender, and nailed it for about 30 seconds. And that actually did a good job. But the better thing was to take two glass decanters, just bottles, right, or pitchers, whatever, pour it back and forth 12 times and aggressively just pour it in. And then the wine has oxidized. And it's not a small difference. It's the difference between enjoying your glass of wine and not, because most red wine, especially a big wine with lots of tannins, is virtually undrinkable at the moment you open the bottle. And just letting a glass of wine sit in the counter for 10 or 15 minutes isn't going to do much either.
And the blender's not going to impress the guests, right? It's going to freak them out a little.
It impressed my guests. They went like, really? What are you doing? It's like, it's a good party trick. So that actually did a good job, but just back and forth 12 times. You know, some people think decanting is about making sure that the lees of the stuff in the bottom of the bottle, rests and stuff. But the fact of the matter is that that's for wines that were produced very differently and were aged. That's really not a problem now. You just want to get oxidization going oxidation going, to get the tannins and other compounds to mellow out.
A related topic, you put something to the test that I think was bartender lore, lime and lemon juices. Some people had said that you should let lemon or lime juices sit a while before you make mixed drinks with them. This is a topic of great personal interest to me. What did you find out when you put that to the test?
Well, we did a margarita recipe 8 years ago, and we let the crushed slices of lime sit with some sugar for a number of hours. And that produced really, really great drink and a nicer flavor. So we got interested in this and did some tests. And it turns out that there are terpenes, a chemical in citrus, not oranges, but in lemons and limes. And you really want to let that stuff sit around, and they oxidize, and you get a much better, more mellow, more complex flavor, just like a red wine, what we just talked about. And 4 hours is good, up to 6 hours, and you're still in good shape. It doesn't work for orange juice, which does start to turn bitter when it gets oxidized. But lemons and limes, it makes a huge difference. And that's why if you're going to make drinks with this, it's better to juice it ahead of time and let it sit.
Well, I want to move to another one, which is, I think, something that everyone has tried at one time or another. Everyone's probably failed at one time or another. That's making popcorn on the stovetop. Sometimes you know it's done because you smell burnt smoke and see it setting off your fire.
Me. The smoke alarm goes off and I know the popcorn's ready.
Right. So how do we avoid the burnt kernels?
Well, sometimes in cooking, it's about imperfection. I would say burnt kernels is sort of, for me, because that's how I grew up, is making imperfect popcorn as part of the fun. But if you want it perfect, take a few unpopped kernels and put it in the oil as the oil's heating. And the beauty of that is you want to get the oil to about 380 degrees. So when they start popping, it's an audible reminder that the oil's at the right temperature. So that's the first thing you do. You take the pan off the heat, add the rest of the kernels, and cover the pan, wait 30 seconds. Then put it back on the stovetop to finish cooking. And that way you end up getting all the kernels heated at the same time so that they pop almost simultaneously. So it's a simple trick, but if you don't like imperfection in your popcorn, that's the way to go.
Chris, I'm a butter and salt guy. What do you put on your popcorn?
Butter and salt.
Oh.
I mean, but
the classic.
Well, the only I have to say something about popcorn. I once worked for a guy a long time ago who ate nothing but popcorn all day.
What?
He was on a popcorn diet. Yeah, he didn't put anything on it. This is his way to lose weight.
Oh. So he was in great shape, huh?
And so for 4 years, every day, there was vast quantities of popcorn going to the office. So I'm at the point where I kind of like, I can't do it anymore. So I'm going to have to wait a few more years before I go back into the world of popcorn.
Can I just add one more topping, which you overlooked, I think, Rob? Brewer's yeast. I think it's fantastic.
I used to do that all the time.
Popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had that. That's actually quite good. My daughter actually was just experimenting with caramel sauce on her popcorn. I think it was about the caramel sauce, not the popcorn. But
we're talking to Chris Kimball, host of the America's Test Kitchen TV and radio shows. And we'd like to hear from you. You can join in. If you have a question for a leading expert on the science of cooking or some kitchen tips to share, call 800-642-1234.
We'll take your calls in a minute. But first, Mike Arnold joins us now because this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive.
We're here to ask you to support the programs you enjoy. Your support makes high-quality, commercial-free programs on WPR possible. And when you pledge today, check it out. You'll be entered in a drawing for an iPad Air. So now is a great time to support the programs you value at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And before you put your wine in the blender, I think it's important for you to make that call because we do need, we heard from 12 listeners in the last hour. This time around, we're kicking it up a notch because Chris is on. I think that's why we're doing it.
Right.
We'd like to hear from 30 people in this hour. We've already heard from two so far, so we're making some good progress. These hourly goals are extremely important. They help us stay on track financially so that you can keep the discussion going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. So take a minute right now and give at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
On the Ideas Network on Central Time, you hear from the people who write the bill, who write the book, who have unique experience on and an expertise on things like cooking. We're glad to seek these people out and get them on the show. but it's your support that makes it possible. Make great radio happen right now with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just like to hear from 28 more callers in this hour of the program. We know we can do it. And we know that you give to WPR to support the programs, but as an added incentive, we have something special right now. It's a one-year magazine subscription to Cooks Illustrated. Each issue contains recipes and features, cooking tips, cookware reviews, taste test study results, and more. Probably some more information about blending your wine. It's yours when you give at $120 or more. That's $10 a month. Ask for it now when you make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Chris Kimball is giving just a taste of the kind of great, helpful, practical, everyday advice you can get from Cooks Illustrated and some fancy recipes, too. That's what we're going to be talking about in a few minutes, some great cooking advice and recipes, dishes you can make at home. Pledge $10 a month or more right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and ask for your subscription to Cooks Illustrated. Again, pledge WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One of the things that I value particularly is because I do value its objectivity and I do value the variety of programming that Wisconsin Public Radio provides, I'm proud to be part of the audience as well. Because I know that I'm part of a group of people who appreciate the quality of Wisconsin Public Radio's programming. I like being part of that group. I'm Joan Rudnitsky, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for objective information and entertainment.
Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob Ferret here with Mike Arnold asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during this winter membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're talking to Chris Kimball today. He's the host of America's Test Kitchen, which is a radio show that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to welcome him to the WPR family by pledging today. And if it's not enough that Chris Kimball's on here, you can get the Cooks Illustrated book. But everyone who pledges today, right now, if you call right now, you'll be entered into a drawing for an iPad Air as well. So you could be the lucky winner when you make your pledge at any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone number to WPR iPad Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, WI 53706. Enter by sending a postcard or make a pledge right now in support of great public radio in Wisconsin at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, Chris Kimball's talking about cooking. I'm going to talk about another kind of cooking. I'm going to talk about WPR's budget pie. You know what the biggest slice of our pie is?
I do at this point, but I'll let you
listener support, basically. Yeah. Listener support is the single largest source of funding. It's bigger than state or federal government support. It's bigger than business support. Your contribution makes a big difference for Wisconsin Public Radio. It's what makes the show one louder. You know, if we crank it up to 11 at Wisconsin Public Radio, it's because of listener support. WPR is the amazing service that it is, thanks to your support. So now's the time to give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is your radio station, the one that wakes you up in the morning, rides with you on your commute, keeps you company during the day.
And the beauty of public radio is that you get to decide how much you're going to pay for the programs you enjoy. Many first-time donors give, say, $10 a month.
And if you give $10 a month or more, remember, ask for your very own subscription to Cooks Illustrated. $10 a month or more to support great public radio and get awesome, and I'm holding a copy of the magazine, just chock full of advice, recipes, great pictures, information. Yours for a pledge of $10 a month or more, and you're entered into that iPad drawing. It's a great time to pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Chris Kimball is with us. He's host of the America's Test Kitchen television and radio shows.
And we're taking your calls on this. Do you have questions about cooking to ask the nation's leading expert on the science of cooking? Do you have any kitchen tips that you'd like to share with us? You can call in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And Chris, I want to talk a little bit about what America's Test Kitchen does and what Cooks Illustrated does. Now, this is really about good food, number one, but it's also about the science of cooking. You know, you don't really say marinara sauce is tasty, so here's a recipe we think is pretty good. You actually go to work and try to figure out how to make the perfect marinara sauce, right?
Well, yeah, what we're trying to do is to figure out what you're going to do with our recipes when you take them home. It's sort of like what my kids are going to do after they get out of college, you know? And so we want the recipes to be foolproof. So in order to do that, we need to understand what makes them work, what makes them fail, and then communicate that to the reader or the viewer as well. So you understand, you know, if you use cake flour instead of all-purpose flour, vice versa, this isn't going to work or it is going to work. So the science isn't just because we like science. It's to really understand why a recipe works and how it works so we can say, you know, here are the things you really got to watch out for, because this will change the results substantially.
You can get lots more of that kind of information with your own subscription to Cooks Illustrated with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Pledge $10 a month or more and ask for your subscription there. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Joe with us in Prairie du Chien. Hi there, Joe.
Hi. I'm curious, are there any rules of thumb for using spices? I like thyme, oregano, dill, rosemary, garlic, all these things, and I tend to just put them all in every dish. And I assume there's basically some sort of following of general rules for, you know, poultry, fish, vegetables, et cetera. What's your suggestions, Chris?
Sure. Well, there's a few rules. The more delicate herbs are usually better off being added right at the end. And you can also balance out a dish, a soup, a sauce, a stew, by adding things at the end to get the flavors right, including garlic or ginger or herbs. Spices are best bloomed at the beginning of a recipe in oil, because most spices are oil soluble. So that's why a lot of curries, for example, you might cook some onions in oil, then add spices, and for 5 or 6 minutes you cook them, and you can see the colors change and you can start to smell it, and that'll bloom the flavors. Some herbs are good at longer cooking, like rosemary, for example. Some are best, as I said, you know, basil, something very parsley, cilantro, something very light at the end. The last thing is, I very often will take a whole, you know, branch of something, essentially, and put it in instead of mincing leaves or pulling leaves off. I find that unnecessarily fussy. So I'll just put in some stems of things and then fish them out at the end. but in terms of selecting which, I mean, there's certain, you know, you can't go wrong with thyme. There's some sort of basic things. When you get into more particular flavors, don't just add everything. I'd be very careful. I think less is more. Stick with one or two things. Try it, and then you can always add as you go along, as you cook, but don't put too many things in. You know, it's sort of like Middle Eastern cooking is about individual flavors. I think that's the best way of thinking about it. So if you're going to use dill, you know, you don't need cilantro.
All right. Well, thanks, Joe. I hope that answers your question there. And we have a question here from Teresa in Trempealeau County wondering if you can make potato dumplings with boxed potatoes. What do you think about that?
No, I don't think that's going to work out too well. I mean, I remember back in the 70s, I actually did occasionally make, or I worked with someone who made them out of a box, but that's good for camping. I mean, if you're up in Montana on a riding a horse, that's really good for dinner. No, you definitely would need, the thing is you need the starch in the potato and the right kind of potato, and you have to leaven it properly. And so, no, I mean, mashed potato, sure.
Chris, you sent us some recipes. We've got a couple of them up on the Central Time Facebook page. One of them I'm really eager to use is for asparagus. We're eagerly awaiting for the end of winter and our first big veggie, asparagus, to come along. Can you give us some tips from your lab on what to do with our asparagus when we got it?
You can either broil them, you know, oil them, put them on a heavy baking sheet, and shove them under a broiler about 4 inches from the heating element, 8 to 10 minutes. You can do the same thing in two layers in a large skillet and put that in a very hot, like 450 oven. That'll also do the same thing. About halfway through, you'd want to mix, you know, turn them over, mix them up a little bit. But you can get some good char in an oven, much like you would on the grill. You just, but the high heat is a key thing. High heat really brings out the flavor of asparagus.
And what about texture? Do you still want it to have a little bite to it?
You do, but, you know, you got to be careful. This al dente thing, I mean, if you talk to an Italian, I just had dinner with someone locally who actually grew up in Naples, and she said the same thing, that Americans went crazy with al dente. I mean, you don't want to have to chew it, you know. I mean, it should be cooked, but a little bit of bite is good. But I know a lot of restaurants, you know, you get the stalk of broccoli, for example, or green beans that are basically uncooked.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I mean, Italians, real Italians would say, you know, you got to cook your vegetables. So cook them, but just leave a little bit of bite, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, let's take one more very quick call. Tiffany joins us from Amherst. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What about your question?
Good. Well, my daughter and I, we've been baking for quite a few years. I mean, she's only 12, so, you know, but she's been helping me. And we bake a lot of, you know, cookies and cakes and cupcakes and all, you know, from scratch. And we use, you know, semi-high quality ingredients, and we've noticed recently that we'll make these great cookies, cupcakes, whatever, and we'll be eating them, and they're deliciously wonderful, and then all of a sudden we'll get this really sour spot, and it just sort of comes out from nowhere, and we'll be like, ooh, what was
That's
that?
Not what you want in your cupcake. So
no,
a sour spot, so Chris, let's talk about sour spots in bakery.
It sounds to me, yeah, it sounds to me like you got a little bit of baking soda or baking powder that was not fully dissolved in the batter, and that's usually what's going on, because baking soda in particular, I mean, baking powder is baking soda with a couple other ingredients. It is very sour. It has that sourness to it. So it may be that it wasn't fully incorporated. Sometimes it's good to let a batter sit for a few minutes so it hydrates, so that the ingredients really do get in touch with the water, so they really dissolve thoroughly. But it may be that you're, and especially with muffins and cupcakes, it always says, you know, don't overmix. And some recipes will actually say till that you just see a little bit of streaks of flour. So you have to be careful that the chemical leavener is actually fully absorbed by the batter.
That's a mistake I've made. Chris, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Pleasure.
That's Chris Kimball. He's host of the America's Test Kitchen television and radio shows. Remember, you can get lots more great advice with your pledge of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Ask for your subscription to Cooks Illustrated when you make that pledge, $10 a month or more.
Coming up next, we'll talk about a new effort to require universal background checks on gun purchases in Wisconsin. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time, and it is our winter membership drive. I'm here with Mike Arnold, and listeners like you provide the single largest piece of our budget, and that's why your gift is so important. And to encourage that gift today, your pledge of any amount automatically enters you in a drawing for an iPad Air. So make that gift right now, today, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're making fast progress on our goal. We're looking to get, 30 pledges in the next 30 minutes, and we're down to 20 now. So people are making their pledges, but we've been waiting for you. You've been putting it off all week. It's Friday. I know you got plans for the weekend, so now's the time to do it. Your pledge right now will help keep this program going strong, and it'll help this good momentum moving forward as we move into the weekend. Make your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, maybe you found yourself thinking about something in a new way after you've heard one of our shows. For instance, lots of people are probably rushing to put their red wine in their blender right now because it will taste better. Who knew? That's the beauty of the Ideas Network. You hear multiple points of view, you get new ideas, and you're sometimes those mind-bending things that you never would have thought of before. Because you value what you hear on the Ideas Network, now's the time to pledge your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And, you know, think about a lot of things in your life. There aren't a whole lot of things in your life where you get to pick how much it is worth to you. You go to a grocery, like if you're going to go to a grocery store and you buy a bunch of food, and they don't go, how much do you think this food's worth to you? Doesn't happen. You go to a restaurant and they don't say, how much is this food worth to you? And then you give them whatever. No, it doesn't work that way. The thing that's cool here is you decide the amount. How much is this worth? How much is it worth to have great conversation every afternoon on your way home from work or as you're doing things around your house? Every pledge is appreciated, and every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on WPR. And if you want to pledge $10 a month, we'll give you a one-year subscription to Cooks Illustrated as a thank you gift at a gift of $10 a month, or that's $120 in a lump sum. That's at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we heard from Chris Kimball earlier. These recipes, they have been vetted thoroughly. People go through these and make sure that these recipes work, that when you get home, you're not going to end up with a pot of gruel. You're going to end up with something delicious, which is, and in many cases, people think of these as the definitive versions of recipes. When you really want to know how to do something, sometimes people say you go to Cooks Illustrated. Well, that is our gift to you. It's our thank you gift. When you decide to pledge $120 or more, that's $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Because you have a strong sense of what it means to be a Wisconsinite, chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio plays an important role in that sense of identity. We serve the entire state.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get news, you get new voices, you get music and sounds from around Wisconsin. Over time, all of these broadcasts add up to a strong sense of connection here that we share.
Maybe you feel like Mark and Lucy from Dodgeville, who said that they really appreciate listening to Central Time as they cook, drive, and do their routines around the neighborhood. If you appreciate that, if Wisconsin Public Radio is a home that you share with a lot of other people in Wisconsin, it's funded in a large part by listeners. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now when we travel, I've got WPR's app for the iPhone. We listen to WPR all the time we're driving, 14, 15 hours a day sometimes, all across the country. This station has by far the best programming of any public radio station I've found anywhere in the country. This is prime programming. People should know that. People should be aware of it. People should know that there's something really intelligent happening right here in our midst. When we gave annually, you got a good feeling when you wrote the check. Now, as a sustainer, I'm reminded monthly. It does make you feel a bit more a part of the process, more a part of the entire effort to put intelligent programming on the air. We like the idea that we're putting our money where our values are. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you can join Bruce and make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this winter membership drive. I'm Veronica Rickert, and I'm here with Mike Arnold. We're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift, maybe you decide $10 feels good, or maybe $15 a month feels right. Whatever amount you choose, whatever fits your budget, that is exactly the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're asking you to put your money where your values are. You appreciate the fact that there's a place for civil conversation. You appreciate the fact that Wisconsin Public Radio comes on every time you start up your car. and things like that. So it's really a good reason for you to donate right now.
Or because you hit your WPR preset button every time a commercial airs on another station, that's a sign that it is time to donate. That means that WPR is your main radio station, and you're glad also that we're listener-supported.
Your donation makes the programs you enjoy on WPR possible and uninterrupted by commercials. And, I mean, sometimes commercial radio, they interrupt with, like, really bad songs, too, that just stick in your head. There's this Lady Gaga song that just goes over and over my head, and that's why I'm glad Wisconsin Public Radio is there. Are you happy that you have a refuge from Lady Gaga? Well, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Is it Poker Face? Because I like that song.
No, there's another one. The applause song.
All right. Well, whatever it is, you're not going to hear it on public radio. But I can tell you this. If you pledge $120, we will be happy to send you our thank you gift of a subscription to Cook's Illustrated Magazine. This is great if you're serious about cooking. Also wonderful if you're just getting started, because these recipes have been so thoroughly tested. It's a science of cooking and the best recipes, and you can understand it if you've got a head for science. So.
And it's kind of like Central Time. I can say this because I'm not on the program normally, but I think it's a really nice mix of programming every day. You hear a lot of different topics on Central Time every day. It's a great companion as maybe you're driving home from work. If you appreciate the mix there, it seems appropriate that you should pledge $10 a month and ask for the Cook's Illustrated, because you're supporting well-cooked programming that's on every day on the Ideas Network. Again, the way to do that is to go to WPR.org and make a pledge, or you can call us at 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Gun control is back in the spotlight after activists and Democratic state lawmakers yesterday called for universal background checks on all gun sales in Wisconsin.
Among those calling for the introduction of a new law is State Representative John Richards, Democrat from Milwaukee, the 19th Assembly District. Representative Richards, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you today.
Well, federal law currently requires background checks for guns purchased from federally licensed dealers. What are you looking to change here in Wisconsin?
Well, we're looking to make sure that all gun transactions go through a background check to make sure that violent people can't get guns, that people who are mentally ill can't get guns, that people who have a judicial order on them for domestic abuse, for example, can't get a gun. And right now we have too many instances where people are able to get around the law and go online or go through a private sale and buy guns and really create harm and sometimes kill people. Now, I got involved in this issue a couple of years ago when some neighbors of mine had a son who was involuntarily committed for a very bad bipolar disorder. And when he got out, he was able to get a gun. And unfortunately, he committed suicide with it. And so after that, we worked together with Democrats and Republicans, and we actually passed a law to make sure that mental health records become part of the background checks when we're looking at a gun purchase. And we worked in a bipartisan way to get that done. I'm very proud of that. Then a couple of years ago, we had an issue where a man in Milwaukee County had been abusing his wife for many years. She finally got the courage to go in and get a domestic abuse restraining order. And after she obtained that order, which prohibited him from getting a gun, he went online, purchased the gun, went to where she worked, and killed her and two of her coworkers. It was a very terrible incident and something that could have been prevented if we would have had the background check law in place. And so the background check law says that if you're a seller, you can only sell to someone after you've completed a background check and made sure that a person is not someone who's under indictment for, convicted of a crime, punishable by imprisonment for more than a year. If you're a fugitive, if you're an unlawful user or addicted to a controlled substance, if you've been adjudicated mentally ill, or if you're subject to a court order restraining him or her from stalking or threatening someone or intimidating someone.
Is this a law that's on the books in other states?
These are all, and all those restrictions are currently on the law in Wisconsin today. So we're not adding any new restrictions. We're just saying people need to follow the law. So what's interesting is that Missouri did away with their law requiring background checks on guns. And there's actually been quite a bit of research on what happened there. What they found was a 23% increase in the firearm homicide rate in Missouri since they lifted that law. So we now know that when you have these laws in place, they prevent crime, and when you lift these laws, they actually, unfortunately, increase the amount of crime and murder that you have in a state. And
Representative Richards, do other states have these kind of background checks in place?
Oh, sure. I mean, for example, Colorado just passed a law recently, and you know what they've seen in Colorado over the last 6 months is they've had almost 70 instances of just in the last 6 months of stopping people from getting guns who shouldn't have had a gun. So they're certainly in place in all around the country, and this has been a federal law for a long time. And what we're just saying is that if you're a federally licensed firearm dealer, people obey the law, and the vast majority of gun owners in Wisconsin are responsible, law-abiding people. The vast majority of gun sellers in Wisconsin are law-abiding and follow the rules. And there's a tiny percentage out there who don't follow the rules, unfortunately, and sometimes that really creates some problems and with tragic results.
There are a lot of people maybe suspicious of this kind of law, worried about slippery slope, don't want to see Wisconsin take on any more kind of gun restrictions. What do you say to them, in particular people in the Republican Party who have a say on whether this comes to a vote?
Well, we aren't adding any new gun restrictions. What we're saying is that for the gun restrictions that we have in place, let's enforce those. And so don't let people get around the laws that we have in place today just because they can go online and purchase a gun or purchase a gun at a private gun show. So we're not adding a single new restriction. What we're saying is that if you're going to buy a gun, do it by the rule and go through a federally licensed firearm dealer.
And this is symbolic legislation, isn't it? The Republicans control both houses of the legislature. They're not going to take this to a vote. Why introduce it?
Well, it's been introduced for many months now, actually for more than a year. And what we talked about last week was a series of petitions that we got from more than 16,000 Wisconsinites who want to make a change in this law. But we're still holding out hope that we're able to reach across party lines and get some results. You know, just in the last few months, we've had some great bipartisan public safety wins. For example, we were able to pass a law allowing the city of Milwaukee to use a technology called ShotSpotter, which allows the police department to track where gunshots are coming from. And also, the assembly passed legislation to facilitate firearm surrender when in a domestic abuse setting. So I think those are great steps forward and will definitely improve public safety and something that shows that Democrats and Republicans can come together to get things done. And that's what we're trying to press certainly in these last 2 days in the legislative session.
Have you heard anything from your Republican colleagues in the assembly that suggests they might be open to this?
Not yet, but we're continuing to ask. And, you know, one of the things that's frustrating is that this bill hasn't even received a hearing, much less a vote. And I think given the incredible public support this bill enjoys, where the polls I've seen show that roughly 80% of Wisconsinites support this idea. It sure seems to me that the fair thing to do would be to give it a hearing and bring it up for a vote, and let's vote on this. And let's politicians know where they stand on.
Speaking of voting, this is an election year in Wisconsin. There's a race for governor, a race for the assembly and the Senate, and the race for attorney general, which you're participating in. You're one of the Democratic candidates. Do you think something like this measure to require to expand background checks for gun purchases in Wisconsin is something that might be an election issue in any of those campaigns?
Well, sure. I mean, in my race for attorney general, we've certainly been talking about it. And, you know, there's a clear difference between my approach and the Republican nominee's approach, and you know, we're going to have a strong debate about this. But I'm no matter where I go in Wisconsin, whether it's in Kenosha or Eau Claire or La Crosse or Manitowoc or Green Bay or Milwaukee or Madison, this is something that people really agree with and think that it's something that we should be doing. I've worked very closely with even members who are members of the NRA who are gun enthusiasts, and they agree with this. And, you know, most notably, the brother of that woman who died at the salon in Brookfield a year ago or 2 years ago when her husband, who was an abuser, who had a domestic abuse restraining order on him, was able to get a gun when he shouldn't have gotten one.
Would this really keep the guns out of hands of people who shouldn't have them? The case often is this just makes life harder for law-abiding gun owners. They have to go through more hoops to get firearms, and people who want to commit crimes are going to find the illegal guns one way or another.
Well, that's never an excuse we hear when we're talking about other statutes that we pass dealing with crime. You know, we should be doing everything we can to stop these incidents from happening. And a good, strong law in place can stop these incidents from happening. And if we can save lives with this, and we will save lives with this, we should pass this law and make it the law of Wisconsin.
You represent Milwaukee currently. Is this a particularly important issue for your part of the state?
Well, it's an important issue in every part of the state. Certainly, our police chief has been very vocal about this. He thinks that's important for public safety. But I've talked to police chiefs around the state who agree that it's important for public safety in their communities too.
Representative Richards, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be with you.
That was State Representative John Richards, Democrat from Milwaukee.
Coming up, we'll tell you what you need to know to impress your friends at an Oscar party this weekend.
First, it is our winter membership drive. Veronica and I are here now to ask you to support the programs you enjoy. Your support makes high-quality, commercial-free programs on WPR possible. When you pledge today, you're automatically entered in a drawing for an iPad Air. It's a great time to support the programs you value at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 10 more pledges in about the next 7 minutes. So thank you so much if you've already given. But if you haven't, you can help us stay on track and do the right thing because you're listening right now. Make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Already, we've heard about guns and public safety legislation on today's show, great cooking advice on today's show, just a sampling of the range of topics you hear about each day here on Central Time. And your support makes those topics we cover every day possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, another thing you can choose along with your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio is a one-year subscription to Cook's Illustrated Magazine. And that is our thank you gift to you when you make a pledge of $120 or more, shakes down to $10 a month. Your pledge supports the programs and you'll get to enjoy this magazine subscription throughout the year. As you cook, you can try out these recipes that have been thoroughly researched and have been proven to be tasty as well. You can make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life, and I know your situation during these pledge drives. The pledge drives come, the pledge drives go, and every time you have this vague feeling in your heart that maybe you'd like to pledge. You don't know if you're really going to, maybe someday. And I just want to say, if you're in that state, and I'm guessing that you probably are, I think most people who hear the pledge drive are in that state. They think, well, maybe someday, if they kind of wonder, maybe something will push them over the edge. Can I just say, I think I know what will help you decide. If you have access to the internet, take my advice. Just go to the website of this public radio station and just look around. That's all I'm asking. Just look around at all the stuff that we're giving away to people who pledge. Maybe you follow the links to all the public radio shows like This American Life, where you can listen to the program for free anytime, any day, day or night. Lots of shows do that. And then go back to the place where you can pledge, where it's so fast, it's so easy. And just sit there. I want you to just sit there for a moment and just kind of take a poll of your own feelings about the whole thing. And then you'll know what to do. Either way. Just make it a fair judgment. Just take a moment to think about it. All right? Here are some very nice people with absolutely no ulterior motives for giving you this internet address who will explain where to find this radio station on the web.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob and Veronica here, your Central Time hosts, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our winter membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, anywhere in between, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
You know, you probably have a story about how you became a WPR listener. Maybe you discovered us by accident while you were trawling the dial, and you never changed that station again.
Well, now here's a new story. You can tell the story of how you first became a WPR donor, a Wisconsin Public Radio member. It might start out like this. I was listening to WPR as usual today when I realized it was time to donate. Finish the story with your first ever donation of maybe $5 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget that if you pledge this hour, we will send you a thank you gift at the $120 level. That's $10 a month. The gift of the Cook's Illustrated magazine subscription. And if you're curious, you want to check out the offerings a little more, you can head on over to our Facebook page where there is a recipe for pan-seared chicken with a chive sauce on top of it. And that's just one example. They kind of run the gamut there, but it's the sort of thing that has been thoroughly researched and the science is sound in these recipes. These are meals that have been vetted.
And Chris Kimball of America's Test Kitchen said they were foolproof, meaning I could probably cook them successfully without too much damage. So these sound like great recipes, well-tested, as Veronica said. Yours with a pledge of $10 a month or more. Ask for your subscription to Cook's Illustrated at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, there's only a few minutes left in the hour, and we are still looking for eight more pledges to get us to our goal. You can help us get there because you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, because you get something out of it, because you're excited and inspired and informed. That is why you should contribute at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Leah from Sun Prairie made a pledge this hour. She says, I love listening to Wisconsin Public Radio to and from work every day. It keeps me informed, and I often learn interesting things. Thank you so much, Leah, for sharing your story and for making that pledge. How about you now? Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we really think of becoming a member of Wisconsin Public Radio like joining a community. So many of your friends and neighbors believe in Wisconsin Public Radio, and they believe in supporting it. And it really does. It takes the support of everyone who listens to make this radio station as good as it can be. So when you make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be doing your part to make sure that news and information is there every day.
Just six more pledges now to hit our goal this hour. We can do it with your help. Support great public radio. Get entered into a drawing for an iPad Air automatically with your pledge. And if you pledge $10 a month or more, get awesome cooking advice, recipes, recommendations when you ask for your subscription to Cook's Illustrated. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Whatever amount you choose to pledge, well, that is the right amount. If you want to sort of dip your toes in the water, you can think about $5 a month. If you've been listening for a long time, you're really invested, you might want to consider $15 a month. Some people contribute $100 a month, but whatever amount you choose is correct. We appreciate each and every pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Remember, get your subscription to Cook's Illustrated with a pledge of $10 a month or more. Get entered into that iPad Air drawing. But here is the main reason to pledge. You listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio counts on you to help pay for the things we do. Think about what you can afford and then make a pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Just five more pledges to go. You can keep pledging through the news and help us hit this goal. Again, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.